All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 8 through 9. This is one of those parts of the Bible that is just really encouraging to us. I ought to read more than that. I might do it too. Let's start at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And here's what we want to talk about tonight. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. All right. All right, let's pray again. Father, thank you for the songs, and thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the time that we can be together here tonight. We love you, and thank you for your goodness, kindness, your patience with us. Lord, help us. I pray tonight. Meet and bless the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. We're troubled on every side. Do you ever feel like that? Do you think that's the way the life of a Christian is? We were talking the other day, we were reading, and you know, I mentioned to you this prayer of Jabez. How many of you have heard of the prayer of Jabez? Come on, you know. Somebody wrote a book about it a few years ago and made a lot of money. Jabez was a man in the Old Testament, and he prayed and asked the Lord to make his way prosperous and to deliver him from all evil. Evil is trouble in the Bible. When the Bible talks about evil, it's not necessarily talking about wicked sinfulness. An evil day is a day of trouble. It's a day when everything's troubled. You're troubled. This evil comes upon you. It's trouble comes upon you. Jabez prayed for God to not let that happen to him. He wanted peace and safety and ease and blessing in his life. He didn't want no trouble. Well, nobody wants trouble, but you need to understand that it is a part of what's going to be our lot in life. Man that is born a woman is a few days and full of what? Trouble. Yes, sir. We're troubled on every side, says Paul here. I mean, he's talking about his present walk, his service, his life, what he's doing for the Lord and the way he's living, his ministry. He said, we're troubled on every side. Troubled on every side. This ain't easy. This ain't a joyride. This ain't just a camp meeting, shouter out, mountaintop, emotional high every week. No, that's not what the Christian life and serving God is like. There's trouble. We're troubled on every side. You need to understand that. When you pray like Jabez prayed, you're praying against the will of God. You're praying to stop God from working in your life because He works in our life through trouble. The trouble that we encounter and the trouble that we have to endure and the afflictions and the adversity in life, it almost always involves other people. Resisting, fighting, oppressing, being against us. We have to endure that, and it helps make us into something God can use. And it makes us, it opens our understanding. It's the necessary medicine that we need for our soul to prosper and to grow and to develop. Y'all see that? That's the way it is. Now, I told her, I said, I just started looking in the Psalms of David. A prayer of David. David never prayed like that. He never prayed, oh Lord, deliver me from all evil. Please don't let it happen to me. Give me blessings. No, that's not how David prayed. Get your Bible and study it out. Look for every time the Bible talks about David praying. He didn't pray to be spared from trouble. He always prayed for help in the trouble. He always praised God for the help he got in the trouble. He didn't pray to be spared any trouble in his life because he was wise enough to realize that's part of life. It's part of life. Paul said, we're troubled on every side. I've never seen a Christian. I've never met one that I believe to be real. You listening to me? I've never met a Christian who I believe to be the real deal who didn't have a lot of trouble in their life, who wasn't surrounded by it. I can go back through my mind the people I've known who I really think are real. I mean, I've been around them. I know them well enough. I've watched them long enough till I've become convinced they are real. They're the real deal. Not one of them is free from trouble in their life. In fact, they're like Paul. They're surrounded by it. Trouble on every side. This is not trouble, necessarily, of our own making or the result of our foolishness and sin. You know, it's what is dealt to us by the devil and this upside-down world that hates God and all that pertains to Him or reminds them of God. They hate it all. Anything to do with God, they hate it. And if you got anything to do with God, they're going to hate you too. And they're going to give you trouble. They're not going to make it easy for you. They're going to make it hard for you. If they can put one over on you, they're going to. And so, the word means to be crowded. We're troubled on every side. It means to be crowded, thronged, closed in on, like put in a corner. You ever been backed in a corner? You ever felt like you was just put in a corner and didn't know what to do and didn't know no way out and didn't see how he's ever going to get out of this one? That's what he's talking about. We're troubled on every side. Surrounded. No way out. Looks like. Don't look like there's any way out. It's kind of like it was when they were standing at the Red Sea with Moses and the children of Israel. They were surrounded. They were shut in on the sides, the sea in front of them, and Pharaoh and his army coming after them from the... They didn't have nowhere to go. There was no escape. And they cried out, you know. I mean, they thought, we're goners. This is it. We're done for. This is how. This is what's happened. He's led us out here, and we're going to die right here. Did they die? No. God made a way. Through what seemed impossible, God made a way out. And He always does. There's always a way. There's a song, I think, that said, just when things seem hopeless, God, my God delivers again. Remember that? It also means to suffer tribulation and trial when you're thronged about, when you're crowded and closed in by trouble on every side. It means to be disturbed by things that are designed to distract us. It's hard to focus a lot of times, isn't it? Too busy, too many other things to think about. There's too much going on. There's too many people pulling and shoving at us and too many responsibilities and too much to do. And it's hard to focus and think on the things that we need to be thinking about and to do the things we need to be doing because there's too much else. That's trouble. That's trouble. It's something that bothers us. It agitates. And it prevents us from doing what we really want to do and what we need to do. I don't know if you understand that or not. Maybe you don't. I do. I'd like to spend a lot more time doing things for the Lord and in the Lord's work instead of the other things that is just vanity that we're entrapped in and can't get loose from because of the necessity of life. Shut in, to be disturbed. These troubles are almost always the result of other men's sins. I don't know if you can get a hold of this or not, but a lot of the trouble and most of the trouble in the life of a real Christian who loves God and who's serving God. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about those who are careless and foolish and half-hearted serving God. Not even real. That's no serving God when you're half-hearted at it. When you're not committed and when you're not serious about it and you just count it as a light little add-on to your life, you're going to have trouble and it's of your own making. But people have trouble who are sincere and serious and dedicated and committed and determined. These troubles are almost always the result of other men's sins. Children cause you a lot of trouble. You know, when they're little, like y'all's baby there, she don't cause much trouble. She just keeps you up a little bit and keeps you busy and costs them quite a bit of money and all of that. Occupies your mind a lot because if she's sick, you got to think about it. But, you know, they can grow up and cause you lots of trouble. Amen. Spouses can cause you trouble. So-called brethren can cause you trouble. The sins of your children will cause you trouble. The sins of your spouse cause you trouble. Sins of the brethren around you cause you trouble. Sins of the people you work with cause you trouble. Yeah, you see what I mean? You can have trouble in your life, and it can be mostly because of other people. It can be because of other people and not because of your carelessness and your foolishness. To endure things that we would prefer not to have in our experience, that's trouble. There's just a lot of things. I'm sure you're here tonight. There's things in your life that you would change if you could. You'd say, I don't want that in my life. If I could go back and change that, I would. Amen? Yes, amen. To have things going on in our lives that just plague our minds and cause us pain in our heart and mind, that's trouble. All right, now that's what we're talking about. Paul said, I'm troubled on every side. He said, we are troubled on every side. Everywhere I look, there's trouble. I wonder about preachers sometimes. You know, I've known some have been at it a lot longer than I have, and that's why I just look at them and I wonder, how can you just keep going? When that's all it is. It's just trouble all the time. You look to the right, there's trouble there. Right, left, trouble on both sides, everywhere. Been around you too long, I'm telling you. I wonder how they keep going. Sometimes I wonder, how can you keep encouraging yourself? How can you just keep going and keep on plugging along when every time you take a step, it's just more trouble and more trouble and more trouble. And ain't no way to go back because that'd be trouble. Ain't no way to go to the right or the left because it's trouble on every side. But he said this. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Well, I'm glad he put that in there. I'm glad it just ain't troubled on every side, perplexed and persecuted and all that. No, he's got the flip side of everything here. He said, we're troubled on every side, but not distressed. That means extreme pain and anguish of body or mind. It means to be made miserable. We're troubled on every side, but I'm not miserable and I'm not defeated and I'm not in despair. I mean, we're not. It means to be oppressed with calamity. Distress does. And he says, we're not that way. Not that. The troubles, no matter how heavy, don't get us down to the point we can't continue. Just man falls 7 times, but he rises up again. Well, and I tell you so often, and I hope you understand it as the truth and believe it, the evidence of a true believer is that he continues. Oh, the Bible bears that out so strongly. It's not the one that quits and falls by the wayside. He's a professor. He's not a believer. A real believer gets up and goes on. You can't stop him. I read the other day, somebody said that most men are quitters. They're real acquainted, it said, with the last straw. They know it well. Because every little bit, that's the last straw. I'm out of here. I quit. Give up! But he said, 1 in 100 will be one that you can't defeat. One that won't quit. One that cannot be held down. That's the way it is. But with a Christian, I believe all of them. We're kept by the power of God. God is able to make us stand. The Bible says those things, you know, and it's true. If the Bible says it, it's true. Yes, God is able to make us stand. He'll keep us from falling. Y'all ever read those things in the Bible? It says those things. It really does. And so we've got that. He says, I'm troubled on every side, but they don't get me down or get me to the point where I can't go on. They never oppress us to the point that we're shut down from serving God. We know how to cast our burden upon the Lord and let Him sustain us. And that's how we deal with trouble. We got trouble, But that's how we deal with it. We never let it get us down. It grieves us. It pains us. It bothers us. But it never stops us. Amen? We're perplexed, he said. That's the next thing he said in the verse. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Perplexed. You ever been perplexed? It means entangled. It means puzzled from the confusion because of the uncertainty. Oh my, we're living in a time when it's easy to be perplexed. Because you don't know what to believe about anybody, about anything. Everything's a lie nowadays. Everything's mixed with lies. You can't believe the news. You can't believe what people tell you. You can't believe what you read. You can't believe what you see on Facebook or on the internet. You can't believe nothing anymore. The only thing you can believe is what's written in this book right here. It's still the same. If you got a King James Bible, it's the same book that's been around for a long, long time. And it does not change. You can go to that, and it is the truth. Jesus said it's the truth. Thy word is truth. There it is, right there. You can go to there and find an anchor to work from. But everything else all around you is trouble, and everything all around you perplexes you. You can't figure it out. You can't understand it. Do you ever, you identify with that? You ever look at people and say, what in the world? I don't understand this. I don't understand how they can be that way. I don't understand how they can think that way. I don't understand how they can do something like that. You ever think like that? You ever think those thoughts? Oh, yeah. So did Paul. He said, we're perplexed. We are perplexed. There's so many factors at work and everything around us that we find that we just can't take it all into account with every decision we make and every word we speak. The older you get and the more you get of knowledge and understanding of this world and people and things around you, the less you'll be able to figure it out. The more you're going to be perplexed. Think that sounds contrary to reality? It's not. The more you know about people, the more perplexed you're going to become. About how they do, why they do, what they're doing, what in the world? How in the world can people think like that? How in the world can they do this? How in the world can they be like this? It's going to get worse. The older you get, the more you know. Perplexed means also without resources and to not know what to do. Perplexed means to just not know what to do. Now, do you understand this is the Apostle Paul talking here? And he's talking about him and the people that were with him, working with him. He said, we don't know what to do a lot of the times. I feel like that. You ever feel like that?
Yes.
Concerning the Lord's work especially, a lot of people just think they've got it all figured out. They go to Bible college, they get the plan, they got the books, they got books written by other people who did it, and follow this plan. Do it this way. Well, you can do that, but that ain't God. That ain't God in it. I don't know what to do lots of times. I really don't. When I was younger, I thought I knew what to do. And the older I get, it's one of those things. The more perplexed you get. You just really don't know hardly what to do. You say, man, you're painting a bleak picture of things here. No, wait a minute. He said, we're perplexed, but not in despair. He said, and that means to be without hope. To despair means to be without hope. That you cannot despair if you believe in God. You hear me? You need to remember that. You need to grab that and keep that. You can't despair if you believe in God. It is impossible to despair if you believe in God. If you trust in God. If you belong to God, you can't despair. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I know where the door is at to that deal. I mean, I know that how dark it can get where you just, man, don't see no way out, no hope, no way. And there is a way. You can't despair if God's real to you. And that's what he said. We're perplexed. He said, I don't know what to do. And boy, we I mean, everything's confusing. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to do. But we're not in despair. We're not without hope. We've not given up all hope and expectation. We may not know what to do right now, but we're not left without resources to avail ourselves of. We can find what we need. We know to cast our care upon Him, for He careth for us. You don't despair when you know that. And y'all listening? He said, we're persecuted. We're surrounded by trouble. We're distressed. And we're persecuted. That means to be pursued by enemies. You ever been chased by a dog? You ever been chased by a bull? That's pretty scary right there. Ain't a good feeling, is it? Well, what about when a pack of humans is chasing you like a bunch of dogs chasing you? That's what they had to deal with. We're persecuted. We're persecuted. That means to be pursued, to chase. Paul was doing it before he got saved. I mean, he was chasing them, hunting them down like a hound. Yes, sir. Trying to hurt them and destroy them. Now, he's being chased. He's being persecuted just like he handed it. He dished it out. Now, he's getting a taste of it himself. If you can dish it out, you ought to be able to take it. Harassed and punished unjustly. That's what it means to be persecuted. You're not being persecuted if you're guilty and you have done evil and you get caught and you get punished for it and called to account for it. That's not persecution. Being persecuted is being chased down and judged and done and punished unjustly. Unfairly. To have pain inflicted on us because of our opinions about God and morality and moral things. You ever been persecuted? Are you persecuted? Do people think and persecute you? Do they say bad things about you? Do they do bad things to you because of what you believe? Well, we don't have a great deal of that yet. Do we? Personally. There's people around the country now. You see it in the news and in the law. And they go to the Supreme Court and all these Christians who are being persecuted because of what they've stood for. And moral issues like making cakes for sodomites and stuff like that. You find it. Do you notice the lack of equity, fairness, justice in the whole deal? You know, they can run the president's press secretary out of a restaurant and refuse to serve her because they hate who she works for and what she believes. But a Christian can't refuse to do service to a sodomite. Or they lose their whole livelihood, maybe go to jail, and are ruined. Do you see that? How fair is that? There's no equity, see? That's being persecuted. It's unfair. It's not right. To be persecuted is to have pain inflicted on us because of our opinions. People are not going to just leave us alone and let us be who we are. If you're believing that, you're believing a fairy tale. We're getting to a time when persecution is coming. I mean, open persecution. It's going to get to the point where they can do with Christians just like they did in Rome, just like they did in Germany, just like they've done through all the ages in different countries and times through history. We become the prey, persecuted. Blessed are ye when men shall persecute you. Isn't that what Jesus said? And revile you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Paul said we're persecuted. But he said we're not forsaken. We can take it because God is with us. Never deserted or abandoned by God. Paul said, when I had to stand, he said, no man stood with me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me, he said. The Bible said. So, God don't forsake us when others persecute us for his sake. God always comes to the aid of his children when they're persecuted. He really does. You ever read, you know, if you've never read any of the Book of Martyrs or the Martyr's Mirror, you ought to read some of that. It ought to be a part of the diet of every Christian. You need to read about people who've given their lives, who've been put to death, and how that God stood with them. You need to read about that one, I can't remember his name, but they were going to tie him to the stake and burn him at the stake. He told him, he said, you don't have to tie my hands to that stake. He said, I'll stand right here. And they didn't. They didn't tie him to the stake. And he said, he told the other believers, he said, if God's grace is sufficient, I'll raise my hand in the flame to let you know. And while the flames were burning him to death, he raised his hand to let him know. The Hebrew boys were thrown in that fiery furnace, heated 7 times hotter than it, and they didn't even feel the heat. The smell of the smoke didn't get on their clothes. And the old king looked down in there and he said, didn't we put 3 men in there? I see 4 men in there. And one of them looks like the Son of God. That's what he said. So God was with them in the fire. That's the way it is. When we're persecuted, God's with us. We're not forsaken. God will always avenge our enemies. God will avenge our enemies. Herod boasted and persecuted and all of that. What happened to Herod? The worms ate him right in front of everybody. Amen. God avenges our enemies. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, who threw them boys in the fire, what happened to him? Well, he got to crawl around for 7 years on his hands and knees, eating grass like an ox, until he knew that God ruled on earth and in heaven. And he finally understood. The boys got out of the fire, and Daniel was delivered from the lion's den. And the king learned a hard lesson because God taught him. God will always avenge your enemies. For the child of God, the battle is the Lord's, not ours. Then he said, cast down. One more thing here. Cast down. That means to be put down. You know, we read that book years ago, Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, I believe was the name of that book, wasn't it? And he explained about a sheep being cast down. He said, when a sheep gets heavy wool on it, he said, they'll get in a ditch or something and lose their balance. And if they get rolled over on their back, they can't get up. They're cast down. That was the word they used. They're cast down. And if somebody don't help them, they'll die. Somebody's got to come along and help them get off of their back and onto their feet. Their wool's too heavy, and it's just like, you know, a great big pillow tied on your back, and you fall on, you're like a turtle. You can't reach the ground, and you just die. And so the psalmist talked about being cast down, but God delivering. And that's what he's talking about here. Being cast down, put down, and by all present appearances, defeated, done for. Cast down looks like, he's done. He's lost. His fighting days are over. We're not going to have any more trouble out of him because he is finished. We're cast down, he said. Sometimes by enemies. Most often, these enemies wear religious garbs. That's who does it. I've never had much persecution from just wretched sinners. Where I've had the trouble is from other preachers. Yeah. Other high-minded professing Christians. That's where I've had the persecution from. That's where I've had the trouble from. Sometimes it's by enemies, but most of the time it's by religious people around us. Sometimes by the troubles and calamities of life we're cast down. You can have bad things happen to you that just put you down. I mean, cast down. Not able to get on your feet again by yourself. Sometimes by the betrayal of loved ones or brethren, sometimes by our own foolishness and mistakes, we're cast down. But he said we're cast down, but not destroyed. And that means demolished, pulled down, ruined, annihilated, devoured, swept away. We're not, that doesn't happen to us. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. I remember reading in one of these devotionals, he said, from the wreck, I rise every time. That's right. Let me read you a few verses here. I know the rain is distracting everybody. Micah 7, 8, but you can't go nowhere as long as it's doing this. I don't want to leave and get out there in this. Might as well just stay put until the storm passes by. Micah 7, 8. This is a verse. We had a Mexican pastor and his wife. I always think of her when I read this verse because this was her favorite verse. She had a plaque that she kept on. She showed it to us and this was her favorite verse. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. So that's what Paul's saying here too. He's saying cast down, but not forsaken. Persecuted, but not forsaken. We're troubled on every side, but not in distress. There's always a way. There's always a way. That's a little phrase that you need to stamp into your mind. There's always a way. Don't despair. Don't think you're cornered. Don't think this is the end. There's always a way. Always. Proverbs 24, 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And in Psalm 23, 3. He restoreth my soul. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever felt God just touch your soul and strengthen you when you were cast down, when you were troubled on every side, when you were being persecuted? Have you ever experienced that? Then Psalm 112, verse 4, unto the upright, this is one of my favorite verses, Psalm 112, verse 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Always. Always. Is it dark? Well, just lift up your eyes and wait. Unto the upright. Are you right with God? You can count on these things. If your heart's right with God, if you are yielded to God, you can count on this stuff. This is the way it is with you if you're right with God. Say, it ain't that way with me. Then you ain't right with God. Simple as that. Under the upright, there rises light in the darkness. Amen. Don't despair. Don't be cast down. Don't think you're destroyed. Don't ever think it's over. Because it ain't over till it's over. And it ain't over yet. Amen. All right. Let's bow and we have a word of prayer. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the promises. Thank you for the testimony. The Apostle Paul here, as he tells us just how it is. And encourages us to hope and trust in thee. And in your word, please, Lord, bless it to our hearts and minds. Pray you'd watch over us through this storm. And I pray, Lord, that you'd work in our hearts this week and guide and direct our lives as we try to live for you and glorify you and honor you. Please help us to do it, Lord, in public and private. Lord, help our hearts to be clean and pure before you. Work in lives this week. Help us to get home safely tonight. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.